Hi, I'm Edwin.
And I'm Andrew.
Sound the battle cry.
Two men.
15 minutes.
Eternal impact.
Welcome to Text Talk.
For the Lord, gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause.
Happy Monday, Edwin.
Happy Monday, Andrew.
We are booking through the month of April.
I think we've got just, a week and a half, and we're going to be done with it.
I think so.
Continuing on through the book of Revelation, booking through the book of Revelation.
We're booking through the book of Revelation. Every day, we're just peeling back more of this apocalypse, more of this unveiling. The curtain draws back farther and farther.
Right. Everybody slept over the weekend, so maybe just start with a reminder that that is what apocalypse means.
That's right.
It is the peeling back.
The unveiling.
Here's the heavenly perspective of what is going on. And last week for us, John was called up into the heavens, called up to heaven. Maybe even we might see the highest point, the mount of heaven. To see the heavenly perspective.
And a glimpse of this throne here.
Yeah.
We talked about throne imagery back in Solomon's palace and so forth, and the cherubim that go all the way up to the throne where is God. And there's this amazing picture of praise and glory. Everything that comes into the presence of God in Revelation chapter 4 is overwhelmed with the need to praise God Almighty.
And so we see that heavenly perspective of the throne room. If when we are worshiping God, when we by the blood of Christ have come into God's presence to pray, we may be in our closet surrounded by our clothes. We may be at our kitchen table surrounded by our family. We may be in an auditorium surrounded by a congregation. But if Jesus were to pull back the veil right here, Revelation 4 is where we would be, around that throne with elders and living beings falling down on their faces, throwing their crowns down, and that's what we're doing. And then we move into Revelation 5.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 5. So we're still in that throne room. I'm going to read from the English Standard today. We've got the incredible one who is sitting on the throne, hard to look at. This is what John says, Revelation 5, verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped."
Here's another one of these glorious pictures of praise around Almighty God. But who are they praising now? The Lamb, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And in his appearance, he is there on the throne in the midst. He is in this position of equality and glorification with the One, with the Lord. True things about Christ. But as you're reading this, Edwin, there's something that jumps out at me, something that I never thought I'd see in the throne room of heaven.
What's that?
weeping.
Okay. All
right. Tears.
Yeah.
The song is No Tears in Heaven. We're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. I know he's going to wipe tears away from our eyes.
Sure. Yeah.
But as we
You're making a good point.
Begin the vision. Here's all praise and glory and happy, happy, happy. And then John starts crying and it's not happy tears.
Yeah. You know, I haven't thought about it in those terms, but you're right. That should be startling to us.
Yeah.
In the throne room of God and someone is weeping. And why? Why is he weeping?
Yeah, well, what we have here is this promise of revelation, a promise of unveiling in the picture of a scroll. It's written on the inside, but we can't read it. Why? Because it's sealed up on the outside, seven seals. And so John has this sense, there's something wonderful written in here that I need. In fact, everyone around the throne wants to read and see what's in this thing. But no one can open it.
Yeah. Imagine taking your worldwide trek and you finally found the guru who has all the secrets of life and he can give you all the answers and he hands you a document and it's written in a language you can't read.
Yeah, that's right. I can't see it, or if I could see it, I can't read it.
Yeah.
How difficult is that?
It reminds me, there is a passage in Isaiah chapter 29 that I think this calls on just a little bit. In Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 11, in the middle of all that prophecy, Isaiah is told, "And the vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, 'Read this,' he says, 'I cannot, for it is sealed.' And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, 'Read this,' he says, 'I cannot read.'" So here is God giving a message, saying, "Here's the message." And think of all the things that God might share if you don't know what's in the message.
Right.
Victory for you, maybe warning for you, maybe you're on the wrong path and you need the warning. How often, I don't know how many times in my own life, I've thought, man, I wish God would appear and say, "Edwin, you're getting this part right and you're getting that part wrong." And if he's got a message like that, and I can't look at it.
It reminds me a little bit of, is our word on the bingo card, theophany?
It started last week, I think.
When Isaiah has his experience in the throne room in Isaiah 6, there is a message that needs to be given, but who will send it? And Isaiah says, "I'm impure until his mouth is purified by the coal. Here am I, send me." Similarly, John has been brought to this place for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Here's information. Here's a seal. And if it's for him, he can't open it.
Now,
I can't. I want to be Isaiah, and I can't be Isaiah right now.
And it's super awesome to get to be called up into the throne room of God, but expecting that message, that heavenly perspective, that revelation, that unveiling of here's what's happening, here's what's about to happen, and then there's the scroll, and you see it, and you know, John knows, there it is. That's the message. That's the thing. But it's sealed, and I can't open it. And they've searched heaven and earth and under the earth, and nobody can. What a disappointing moment. And so he weeps. He is mourning that he is not going to get to hear this message.
One of the things that we've been discussing is how these images and apocalyptic visions, they do call back to previous apocalyptic imagery and a genre of literature that particularly first century Jews, Second Temple Jews were familiar with.
Yeah.
So what do you see with a scroll? I mean, what kind of information might be coming along with a scroll?
Sure. There's several passages, I think, in Zechariah chapter 5, where there's the scroll written on the inside and out that talks about the cursing that's going to come on the thieves and those who swear falsely. Then in Ezekiel chapter 2, there's the scroll that Ezekiel is given that he gets to eat. We're actually going to come back to that kind of imagery later in the book of Revelation. But for me, there are two passages that really come to mind when I think about what John is expecting to read in a scroll like this. And I find it in the book of Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, two places, and I'll just lay it out right here. One place shows us restoration and hope for God's people, and one place shows us judgment on the enemies.
That those are the kind of messages written in scrolls?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And think about this. What is John needing to hear right now?
Oh, yeah. He's needing to hear a message about victory over the enemies, because all this persecution, and even talking to the seven churches of Asia in chapter 2 and chapter 3, there seems to be a lot of inroads of sin and corruption struggling, or God's people are struggling against.
And they're in the tribulation. The kingdom is being attacked. John is hoping in this apocalyptic vision mm-hmm. to receive a message that shows deliverance and victory for his people and judgment on God's enemies. But he doesn't know. He doesn't know. He doesn't get to see it. So here it is in Jeremiah, two passages that stand out to me, and I'm sure we could go to a host of others. But in Jeremiah chapter 30 in the English Standard Version, verses 2 and 3, and I am reading from the English Standard, and that becomes important because of the way they translate one word. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, write in a book. But that's our word scroll.
That's a scroll.
That's our word scroll. Okay. So especially in the Septuagint, it's the same word that we find scroll here in Revelation chapter 5 in the Septuagint there for this verse. It's the same word. Write in a book or write on a scroll all the words that I have spoken to you. For behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will restore the fortunes of my people, Israel and Judah, says the Lord. And I'll bring them back to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall take possession of it. So here's this background that John has. I know the kind of things that get written on scrolls like this. Messages of restoration, yes. hope, of deliverance, yes. of rescue. But this scroll is sealed. I don't know if that's what it says or not. And then later in Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51, and I think this really has significant import to the study of Revelation because Revelation pictures the enemy as the city of Babylon.
Yeah, it does.
Babylon is that symbol of the enemy city. And in Jeremiah 50 and 51, there's a great amount of judgment prophesied against Babylon. Now, of course, for them, at that time, literally
right.
Babylon.
Physical Babylon.
But it's through that time in Babylon that lifted that city up as the symbol of the ultimate enemy against the city of God. And there's a lot of things we could read through Jeremiah 50 and 51, but specifically in verse 60, it says that Jeremiah wrote in a book, and that's our word
scroll
again.
Sure.
Jeremiah wrote in a scroll all the disaster that should come upon Babylon, all these words that are written concerning Babylon.
Mm.
And so the recognition that in these kinds of scrolls, what is revealed is the judgment on the enemy city. But John's like, I can't see it. I don't know. Is that what's in the scroll or not? Because it's sealed.
Okay, it could be judgment. It could be restoration, hope. It there's this sense of I definitely need it, whatever it is.
Yeah,
and I'm prevented from it.
Well, think about the letters he's just received. Mm-hmm. He's just been given seven letters, and that was a mixed bag.
Certainly was.
Some of it is, hey, this church here is doing great. Stick with it. This church needs warning. Stick with that. Here's John being promised a message,
mm-hmm.
but the message is sealed, and so he breaks down, weeping. Mourning, and yet he gets some good news.
Well, maybe we should just rejoice in the fact that here we have this scripture open to us, that
oh, yeah.
we are thankful to be having a book and all of it revealed and written. And, you know, I wish I could have more of the heart of John when we talk about hungering for the word of God. But, you know, would I cry? Would I weep?
Oh.
You know, if I didn't have it?
Oh.
I should.
Yeah.
I should. Have an opportunity like this. Well, thank you for joining us for Text Talk today. We have set the stage for our study as we continue on this week in Revelation chapter 5. I hope that you do read it. I think it'll move you every time that you read it. It's so poignant and powerful. And we'll see what might happen that this scroll be opened and what its contents hold. Stay tuned. Let's have a word of prayer. Our great God and Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for the opportunity to study your word. And as we have begun to unpack Revelation chapter 5, we see John's heart to know your word and how it is heartbreaking that it would be kept from him. Father, I pray that I might have a tender heart to your word and always have an earnest zeal to know it, whether it be words of restoration, hope, whether it be words of just judgment and condemnation against sin, whether it be, Father, your gospel and a message of redemption and all that's been done to bring a people, your people, together to be with you in heaven forever. Father, I pray that I want to know. And Lord, may I have a tender heart towards my neighbors to help them to know it as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for talking about the text with us today. I'm Edwin Crozier, and I'd like to invite you to join the Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue in Lutz, Florida, this Sunday for our Bible classes and worship. You can find out more at christiansmeethere.org. Check out our daily written devotional that goes along with today's episode. You can find a link for it in our show notes. Michael Eldridge sang all four parts of our theme song. You can get more from him at acapeldridge.com. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review Text Talk in your favorite podcast app so others can find it and learn about it more easily. Have a fantastic day.
Steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne.